From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
If you listen to the podcast version of this tomorrow or Monday, it will pick up right here. You'll miss that first part because I forgot to load Audition. I feel like I'm excused. It's been a day.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all good. Where was I? I was here, and I'm here. Okay. All right, so you want to get Jeffrey? We'll talk a little bit, get his thoughts.
Sure. Neil was wearing a Peter Millar polo. I can recognize the
Yeah, it was one that I got. Got it for the Kyo Dad's weekend, which I'm not sure is going to happen now. So I was like, oh, to hell with it, I'll wear it. All right, that's not what I want to do. Let me get back into here. That's better.
Yeah, two people, Cole being one of them.
Hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Jeffrey.
All right. Does it sound like I'm talking from my computer, or does it sound like I'm talking from my...
We think you sound good. We'll let the people tell us what
you sound
think.
Great in our headsets, but we'll find out
okay
here in a minute, because believe me, if it's bad, we will be told.
Yeah, Dallas, we can do
that. Hold on. An internet comment section actually lets their voices be heard.
That is correct.
Yeah, apparently there's the negative stuff gets pointed out once or twice. It's the dangest thing.
Who knew?
Plenty of places to start. Our buddy would say we should start with Alabama scoring a lot of points, getting up a lot of yards, but you know, it is what it is. Neil and I talking a second ago, Jeffrey. We'll get to program, because I think we all think that's moving in the right direction. What are you seeing from a season standpoint? Because I still think they're gonna get outscored a little bit this year.
No, I mean, I think the simplest take that I could, you know, without being too, trying to say nothing while actually, you know, pretending like I'm saying anything. The truth is, everyone that's left on their schedule, they can beat. And I really think that everyone that's also left on their schedule can beat them. Because the thing that's going to be fascinating about Ole Miss games going moving forward is... There's no denying this. This is an elite offense. Like, this is, we're talking about truly one of the best offenses in the entire country. You look at yards per play, 7.5 yards per play for the entire season. That's basically fifth nationally. Their scoring offense is somewhere, they have to adjust everything for tonight. Their scoring offense is in the top 10. They have 22% explosive plays. This is, by every metric, this is an explosive offense. But then, by every single metric, we're talking about one of the worst defenses in the entire United States of America. And so because of that, the games get to where it turns into, okay, who makes the big mistake? Who turns it over? Who maybe has a fumble? And in fairness to defenses, you know, like tonight, for instance, Najee Harris's fumble, that wasn't luck. I mean, I guess you could say maybe it was luck because the ref didn't blow the whistle. But Ole Miss made a play. They stripped it. Like, he was exposed. He had his body turned. And that's the first fumble he's ever had in his career. So these games turn into these wild shootouts. And as someone who has bet on the Big Ten for the better part of a decade and a half, if you think you know what's going to happen, you don't. So you start to look at the rest of the schedule. There's a few things that you can weed out. As bad as Ole Miss's defense is, I don't think Arkansas can actually keep pace. Like, I don't think Arkansas can get into that type of game tonight and keep up. I don't think Vanderbilt can get into that type of game and keep up. I don't think really outside of that there's any other team. So we're looking at, I think there's two more for sure wins, and then we're looking up toss-ups with South Carolina, toss-ups with LSU, Auburn, A&M, Mississippi State, and I'm missing one more. Who am I missing?
Who are we putting in that category? I mean, I don't know who you're. I mean, is LSU right now?
I think the two wins are. I don't think Arkansas and Vanderbilt can get into that game and win with them.
Yeah, of course. No, those are wins.
I think the rest of them are toss-ups. So, you know, now we're looking at who takes care of the ball. And I guess the bright side of it is for Ole Miss is, guys, Matt Corral has one interception on the year, and it was on a tip pass.
Yeah, he's through three games.
He's awesome tonight.
Through three games, he's been awesome. I mean, there's really no other word for it right now. Through three games, he is the second best quarterback in the league, and he doesn't have the offensive front that Mac Jones benefits from, nor does he have the defense on the other side.
I agree with you on that, and granted, I think Kiffin deserves a lot of credit, and actually this is another point I want to get to. As dominant as Alabama's been physically tonight, two sacks and seven tackles for a loss, I would imagine both those numbers are under their average.
Well, yeah. There's no doubt about that. Trying to think, like, tonight, Corral, he had the one poor decision on the deep ball early, or first half, whenever that was.
There were two bad throws.
Yeah.
That one that you're talking about, and he got away with it. That, the pass interference on Yabola, that was a horrific decision. Like, that, even if pass interference doesn't happen, that pass should never have been thrown.
Yeah, because he threw, yeah.
He threw it high, he threw it late, and he threw it into double coverage. But I think what he was doing was, hey, man, I'm giving 84 a chance. And so, like, I kind of get that, but that was a horrific decision.
Yeah, he's just trying to make things happen. I mean, the guy's uber competitive. That's part of the deal with him. He's going to compete at a super high level. He's very happy in this offense. He feels like he's been granted a second life. And
going from, all right, you're recruited by Matt Luke. They bring in Rich Rodriguez. And then could you imagine basically being told, hey, man, you ever wanted to run the wishbone out of the shotgun? Because let me tell you what most quarterbacks that like to throw would think when they heard that. F you, buddy, because I'm out of here.
Yeah, he did not like Rich Rodriguez. There's no question about that. That relationship was bad.
Warm, but he's such a warm, loving, what a great teacher. What a good coach of men.
So let me turn it here, because we got a lot of people that are going to want to call and stuff, and it's late, and I don't want to keep you super long. I'm sure you watched some of Auburn and Arkansas.
Yeah.
That's Ole Miss's next two games. We'll start with the Hogs. How do you evaluate them?
Much like what we're talking about with Ole Miss this year, Ole Miss and Arkansas are not as bad as they looked last year. And this actually might upset some Ole Miss people, but I'm just going by straight statement of fact. If you look at the blue chip ratio, Arkansas has more 4 and 5 stars on their roster right now than Ole Miss does. Like, Arkansas's roster is not that bad. That's why if you were betting on Arkansas the last 2 years, if you ever took them with the points and you were so frustrated, part of it was the power rankings, the metrics said this team's better than they're producing. Today was a really, like, Neil, I know you say you don't like to talk about the previous staff. Today was really an indictment on, it was an indictment on Matt Luke, and it was an indictment on Chad.
Yeah. Today was an indictment on Luke and that staff in so many ways. And I like a lot of those people, and some of them are friends, but there's no way around two things. One, the way that Matt Corral was used, and then secondly, the lack of defensive talent. That's all on them. It really, you can take that two staffs, which was one of the reasons that you, anyway.
That's a fair statement.
And then with Arkansas, the
biggest takeaway that I had from this weekend, I think the two most, if you're just a college football fan, if you do not watch the NFL, if you're just into college football, and like, I completely understand, like, hey, we got lives to live. The two things that are the most, in my opinion, misidentified aspects of college football are quarterback play and coaching. Neil, you can put the hot take alert here, get your oven mitts out. I'm not convinced right now that Ole Miss doesn't have the second best coach in the SEC.
No, I think that's fair. He's a terrific. He's obviously terrific. He's got a great staff. I mean, I got messages from multiple people in football, including a couple of people in coaching today, saying, "Hey, I don't know what you're going to write, but you owe it to your readers to write about Jeff Lebby."
I disagree with that.
Well, I mean, it's Kiffin.
Jeff Lebby was I get what you're saying.
A lot of this is Lebby's scheme, and it's Kiffin's play calling. It's a great combination. This is a guy that Kiffin has long wanted to hire and didn't have the resources to do it.
I get it, and so he went and got Kendall, and he had his choice between Kendall and Lebby, and he chose Lebby. With that being said, in the end, Kiffin is the guy. He had the play sheet out. Let's be real. This is the guy that's calling the offense. He's the guy that's putting the game plan together. He's the guy that took the offense and put them in the indoor practice facility in the pregame because he didn't want to give anything away. The only time I've ever seen Nick Saban look that helpless in my entire life was the second time they played Johnny Manziel. They won 49-42 at Texas A&M. I think we were covering the Texas game that weekend. And I remember when that game finally ended, you saw the exact same reaction from Nick Saban. He gave that massive just exhale.
Yeah.
And he thank God that is over.
All right. Listen, like I said, it's late. We're going to get to some other stuff. Appreciate the time very much.
All right, guys.
All right. That was Jeffrey Wright. Thanks for his time on the show.
Watching the Georgia-Tennessee highlights, they did once they got going. I mean, that was a trucking.
They've done that a few times now. When they get going, it happened against Arkansas.
Yeah,
went from 10-5 to 400-10.
Where would you put Kiffin if you're all the ADs are searching and here are the coaches on the table? Where are you picking him?
I can have any coach I want.
Yeah, I mean,
the programs are the same.
Yeah, how do you rank them? That's my point. You got generic SEC school. What's your list?
All the programs are the same. I can have any coach. I want him.
Do you really?
Yep.
Who's in your conversation?
Okay, so looking around the division, not Orgeron. I mean, obviously Saban, but now Saban's 70 years old soon, so that's part of it. If you tell me that I can have Nick Saban at 45 to build a program, done. So
yeah, then sure.
But Nick Saban's in his late 60s now. He turned 69 on Halloween. It's not Leach. That shit's not gonna work. It's not Pittman. Solid coach. I think he's gonna do okay there. I really do, but no. It's not Orgeron. They already say that. It's not Jimbo. I know today was a big win and all that stuff, but it's not him. So it's no one in the West. In the East, I mean, look, Kirby's really good. Mullen's really good. And I think the guy at Tennessee's good, but he's not dynamic like Kiffin has a chance to be. Did you hear the end of the Ole Miss game when Van Pelt was talking about it? He was talking to the sideline guy today.
Todd McShay.
Thank you. And McShay was talking about how this is going to happen pretty quickly at Ole Miss.
That they're going to recruit their way out of this and it's going to be whatever.
Well, yeah. My column was, I want to see what this game looks like in 2 years, and I'll tell you what I think it looks like. I think Ole Miss wins it. That's what I think. I think in 2 years when he has defensive talent and he has his offensive talent in, he came in and took somebody else's offensive pieces. And look, there's some really good pieces on that offense. He took those pieces and just went, I can make it work.
Because also, in your mind, in mine too, you talk about Kirby, you talk about Pruitt, you talk about these different people, but the machines they have in place at their programs, Kiffin would get the exact same out of those machines.
Let's get real. I know we got to be careful with the way we say words and stuff like this. This is all going to be about, is Lane Kiffin able to build, be given, however you want to do it, the machine that it takes to do what they do at Alabama, to do what they do at Georgia, to do what Dan Mullen would like to do at Florida, but where, quite frankly, he doesn't have the machine in place.
Sure, yeah. No, he doesn't have a Kirby-type machine.
No. Can he get the machine that they're trying to put in place at College Station? Can he have the machine that Ed Orgeron has? Because if he does, it's over. He's going to win big here. And if he doesn't, That's when people do the thing with me where they're like, what do you think? Do you think he's going to leave on Tuesday to take the next? I can't answer any of those questions without being able to answer the fundamental question of what's going to be in place. What's going to be in place? Because that tells me all I need to know.
Sure. If it's there, then...
Is he going to be able to recruit at a national level? And everybody knows what I'm saying. I would hope. And if the answer is yes, he's going to win big. If the answer is no, he's going to leave. Because this isn't going to be a cat that stays 12 years waiting for it to all work out. This isn't Kermit Davis at Middle Tennessee.
This is third year it's got to work.
Yeah. That's why I wrote. I wrote about this day, this game, 2 years from now. We'll know everything. Did you get Arch Manning? Because if you get Arch Manning, the odds are you are recruiting at a really high level. And if you don't get Arch Manning, one of two things is happening. Either for some reason the wheels are starting to come off, or he went out and got some other super quarterback who Arch Manning decided he didn't want to compete against. I mean, if you told me, and I don't want to fast forward 2 years of my life away because I'm kind of running out of years, but if you told me that I could glance ahead 2 years, and I'm so intrigued by it that I think if you told me I could glance ahead 2 years in any sports thing at all, that might be what I would choose right now. Let Alabama come to Oxford October of 2022 and let me see what it looks like. Let me drop in the future and see what it looks like.
You get up on that Sunday before and they go, hey, the Lions, Bama minus 1.5. And you go, okay.
I know all I need to know at that point.
Yeah.
And like I wrote, there's some wild cards. I mean, Nick Saban's getting older and blah, blah, blah.
Look, and Kiffin, I mean, I know like we're just, it's positive after positive, but I mean, tonight is, somebody's mentioned the thing. I mean, he misses no opportunities for publicity toward kids.
Yeah.
Toward people who they listen to. Because, look, he promoted former players on his mast tonight. He had Archie and Eli. He had Metcalf. He had everybody on there over the course of whatever. Had P. Willie on there. It's speaking to kids. It's speaking to recruits. It's reminders. And, frankly, it's speaking to the former players. Get them back involved with the program because they speak to recruits through social media. I mean, it all comes back to recruiting.
Yeah.
In every freaking way back in the big circle.
Him reaching out to Eli Manning and Patrick Willis and all and DK Metcalf and all the others over the last week.
A.J. Brown tweeting positively about Ole Miss tonight.
It was not just an expression of, hey, I just want to let you guys back in. It's that.
Hey, we're all in this together, buddy.
Because look, you want recruits to come to campus and be like, oh shit, there's DK Metcalf. Oh, there's AJ Brown. Oh, there's Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Eli Manning. You want that.
He'd probably call Laramie this week. I got a hunch. So yeah.
I mean, you don't think that's effective at Alabama? I always laugh.
They did the game ball thing for years. Like they'd have the former player come in, and they're like the captain for the day or whatever the hell it is Bama used to do with the game ball.
Well, look what LSU did. They had Odell Beckham passing out money on the field.
That's fair. Literally.
I bet it worked.
He gave shoes as a bowl gift a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think, to LSU players.
I mean – Criticize it all you want. I guarantee
you
it works.
You've got one of the top three most marketable head coaches in the country. The kids.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a doubt.
Who's he even in the category with?
Well, I mean,
active.
Because of their winning, he's still in there in a some weird way with Saban and Dabo and
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I mean,
no, it's
he's more marketable than Tom Herman.
Yeah.
He's more marketable than Mario Cristobal.
Yeah.
Like, just thinking of top 5, 10 programs, whatever, off the top of my head. I mean, more marketable than Mike Norvell. No, it's and he connects with kids so well. He didn't just do pardon my take because he likes talking to Big Cat.
Of course
not. He didn't
wear
a Barstool mask last week because he just thinks that was cool for the day.
No, he knows who looks at
that. He wore a Kobe mask for a little while.
He knows who looks at that.
It's like Kobe.
Yeah, no, he's smart. No, it's why this is I always thought this would be interesting.
You're not recruiting better because nobody can come on campus. No program has been more harmed by the pandemic than Ole Miss from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah, look.
They can't do anything but make phone calls.
People don't want to hear this. Because I don't want to make it about me, but I've got a kid that's a high school senior who was in the midst of making a college decision. And the plan was, before the pandemic, we were going to go look at a lot of schools. She can't go see those schools. You can't go see a school. It's hard to choose that school. That applies to football players too, man. You can't see the school. You can't go meet the people. You can't go get a feel for what the program is like. You can't go in the building and see where a team practices and see where they lift weights and see where the dorms are and see where they eat and all of those things. That's a hard decision. You're saying, hey, make this decision sight unseen. Yeah, good luck. Come on, you win a couple of those battles, but you're not going to win the kind of battles that you need to win overall to get it done. This is, from a recruiting standpoint, this is year zero. And if you're unwilling to admit that, that's on you.
Yeah, DK Metcalf, 1 hour ago on Twitter, major love from Lane Kiffin with a pound and a heart.
Yeah.
It's been retweeted. It's been like 7,000 times.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. No, he did what he wanted to do. That's why everybody wanted to completely just demonize AJ. You don't need to do that. AJ's
an integral part of this, right?
He's a big name in the NFL. And young guys, quite frankly, know more about DK and AJ than they do Eli. Yeah. Eli's 40. I mean,
how fast things change.
Yeah. I mean, keeping it real. All right, you want to do this. Our bourbon, Neil Forbes, does our bourbon of the week. This week, as we told you earlier, it's a single barrel Peerless. So 111 proof.
Again, store pick from High Cotton. I know the guys that did this.
Yeah, you were supposed to go on this trip, and you ended up not being able to go.
Yep.
And then we're going to we'll open up. We'll take some calls here momentarily. I know people want to reach out. We want to hear from you. So we'll open up phone line, all that stuff. Ole Miss trending on Twitter right now. Look, kids saw it. They're going to be able to call kids tonight and say, you can play here now.
Come hang out. Yeah.
Like, if there was a way for you to play next week in Fayetteville, you'd play. That appeals to a lot of kids, playing early.
What's this say about, like, it's just freshmen how hard it is. Like, what's it say about guys like Mark Britt and stuff, right? I mean, it just
tells you how difficult.
He missed time. He moved from offense to defense.
Pandemic. Didn't get a regular offseason. Didn't get a regular, all of it. They had COVID issues. This is a weird year. Oh, I like that.
Do you?
I do. You don't?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Almost has like a butterscotch.
That was good. That's good. Yeah,
you get it. Did I? When I was a kid, that was my favorite candy. I'd get those butterscotches, and I couldn't get enough of them.
What's so good about this is that it has an incredibly strong nose. I mean, it's citrus, it's vanilla. I'd ask somebody else, one of my buddies, what he did got in this. He mentioned caramel. I'm not getting as much caramel off the nose,
no.
But I'm getting a lot of vanilla, some citrus,
mm-hmm. Vanilla butterscotch.
And
that's what
comes
I got.
Into, but yeah, like once it hits your palate, it's caramel. But there's just enough, like, oak. There's enough kind of pull there right at the beginning to kind of give you some substance. Because otherwise, you almost kind of drink it and you go, hey, there's to be a barrel proof, there's not a ton there. Like, it's not whatever. Because then it finishes back, you know, like you said, butterscotch, vanilla. It's a really light finish. Like, it lasts for a minute.
I like that a lot.
But it has no cinnamon, no rye pop at all. Like,
it probably doesn't have enough burn for you, does it?
Well, it's not even necessarily burn. It's just it gets lighter as it goes. Like it's a long finish, but it kind of rolls and lets you. There's no gag there. You can just kind of hit that, and you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little. I like the length of the finish, but otherwise, it's a little too light for me. I'm getting a little bit of peppery, right when it first hits, But otherwise, that's a light one for me. It, I will tell you, typically Peerless has some pretty young liquors.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes older than it probably is. I will give them credit on that. Yeah. I think that's what I really like about that store pick, because it tastes older than it is. But
like that one.
If you're trying to get into a little, and I don't know if they even have any available. I would assume High Cotton is probably close to sold out of these. If you're trying to get into a little higher proof, but your palate is not going, hey, I don't want to get into the 130s and get popped and some heavy rise,
right.
It's a really good introductory into an over 100 proof bourbon is what this is. Yeah, I think I think that's a good way to put it. So,
yeah, all right, let's see. You want to open the phones for a minute?
Are we doing that? We need to call Blake.
We do need to call Blake, don't we?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna get Blake on. I'm gonna go ahead and set this other scene up. I'm gonna turn my phone on so that I can do it. Let me get Carson to come down and be the video guy. I'm gonna get him to do that again. Carson's gonna file an invoice today.
Get paid like $20 a minute. Is that
might be what you charge. Might be what he charges. I bet he's playing his game. I know he's awake, so we'll get him real quick.
Try again.
Try
Carson again.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I sent it to you.
Yep.
I sent it to you. That's not good. I saw the C. You would think in my life as many C's as I see. Yeah. I would. Yeah, Carson's 14. He's just going to hop in the car and drive Chase home. Chase, unlike me, has not been drinking throughout the evening. He's
very little.
Chase is nowhere close to the legal limit.
I haven't had a full drink.
No. I mean, no. You're nowhere close to anything.
No. So it's all good.
All right, I'm going to call Blake. Carson's on his way down. Okay. I'll call Blake.
Okay.
Get him on. I'll let you start talking to Blake.
Sure.
And then we'll kind of go from there. I'm going to call. Let's see there. Get him there.
Haley's still with us. She taped or helped me record Emily yesterday. She went to the game tonight, so we allowed her to do that.
Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening.
Cooking hour. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I know I must be speaking to the choir, but it's been a long, weird day of football. I'm pretty tired.
You sound tired, Blake.
You do sound tired.
It's only 11:15 when you're.
Hey, I'm in Columbus, Ohio. It's past midnight up here.
Oh, you're back home.
Oh, I certainly am.
That's still kind of weird.
No, it's been a heck of a day for some football.
Okay, that's fair. So, are you excited? I mean, was that a very fulfilling loss? What do you?
I mean, you know, you never want to claim moral victories, but I guess that has.
That's about as damn close as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you go out and have essentially a basketball game score against Alabama. That's not a bad thing.
So we're doing a four-way stretch tonight on the khakis. We, I guess, slacks, khaki color, however you'd like to phrase it. It's your situation. Neil rocking the Peter Millar with it. Looks like a golfer because you could wear this on the golf course, and he's kind of got the whole motif over there worked out.
Right, yeah. So we've got y'all in our khaki this week, and then flipped it around where we did the powder blue the last couple of weeks. We've got khaki with powder blue stitching. So kind of showing another way to work in some Ole Miss fandom for Ole Miss folks here. But, yeah, just a good, easy pant, something you can do like what Neil's got on with the, you know, kind of the golf look. You can throw it on with the sports jacket. You can wear it with tennis shoes and a T-shirt. Real versatile pant. But this is one we've had in our collection for a couple of years. We basically brought it on because people kept asking for it. So yeah, this is it. It's one of our best sellers and wanted to be able to show it off obviously on you guys are the best models we have. So good looking pant there from Mr. Neil.
Yeah, we're waiting on it real quick. We've got one. Well, no, we're good. Yeah, we're good. We're showing it. We were on a delay, so we're just now actually getting to Neil, but I think we're probably okay at this point to see it there. Neil worked out that camera situation pretty flawlessly over the last week or so. I have played golf in these, by the way. They stretch enough for that. They stay up. They work splendidly with golf. So just telling anybody, if you're looking for a golf slack, these, the Genos, they can do that for you. So, yeah, khaki, powder blue there. And they hold – I know some people were worried about this, Blake. I think it's one of the bigger things. You know, we always talk about how the denim you break in, they kind of fit to you. These do that to a point, but frankly, they hold their form, which is pretty big on this four-way stretch. They're not going to get kind of loose. They're going to stay with you because I've worn mine on the golf course. I've worn them to church, I mean, for probably a year and a half now. I mean, I've stayed in these things a lot year-round. They don't they do not kind of fall out of form whatsoever.
No, they don't. You know, we always like to tell people our jeans, you know, when you get them, they have just a little bit of starch to them. They've got kind of a bit of structure, and then as you work them in, like you mentioned, they soften, they kind of mold to you. So the comparison we always use is, you know, something of like a baseball glove where you get it brand new and it doesn't really change size, but you just get more comfortable with it and vice versa. The khaki is a little different, like you mentioned, a little bit different weave to that fabric. The cotton holds a little bit differently, and yeah, it maintains its structure, doesn't wrinkle, which is nice, obviously, for a light colored pant like that. You know, this is, like I mentioned, one of our better sellers for a reason. Everybody needs a pair of pants that looks like this.
It's my favorite pair, if I'm honest. I love several of mine, but these are the most versatile for me. I love these. Like, I wish I had another, just I almost wish I had like a darker khaki color, if that makes any sense, like a more of a tan to go along with these. These are great.
Well, you know, Neil, the good news is our new Geno line that y'all wore the powder blue the last couple of weeks. We've got a couple different shades of tan, khaki, darker browns. So we'll see what we can get worked out for you here in some subsequent weeks.
All right. That would be great. I would be most appreciative. I look forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to ask y'all, what is the least, what's the weirdest game of the day for y'all? I'm curious. I've been having this text conversation throughout the day with some friends. A lot of weird games today. What's the most unexpected, y'all think?
Missouri LSU, yeah. From the standpoint of LSU just not even having the athletes to get a stop. You know what I mean? Like, as bad as Bo Pelini's been, that LSU couldn't go, you know what, we're nothing but a bunch of 4 and 5 stars. If nothing else, you just make a play. I mean, I've never seen a national championship team that now doesn't know how to win. I mean, that's what's amazing about this is – I know it's only 3 weeks, but I don't think we're exaggerating this. They've completely lost their culture in 3 weeks. They lose Dave Aranda. They lose Brady. They lose so many different players. I get Stingley was out in the opener. They're not even the same program right now. The Gene Chizik thing is real and kind of lazy, but that's what this is. This is an Orgeron guy or coach who absolutely has not been able to sustain just the winning mentality and the culture of his program through 3 weeks.
And I don't think that's the biggest one for me.
Really?
Even though it's, I agree with every word you just said. I think number one for me is Ole Miss, Alabama.
Is it?
Ole Miss was tied 42-42 with 11 minutes left against Alabama. Alabama has a legitimate chance to win the national championship. This is Lane Kiffin's third game. And then the second game is I did not foresee Arkansas being ahead of Auburn with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I watched a good bit of that Arkansas Auburn game today, and you know, as much as I love to see Auburn struggle, it's you know, that Arkansas, you kind of perceive it as an automatic win, and seeing Sam Pittman and those guys, you know, giving fits to State, giving fits to Auburn, that's uncomfortable. you want to have a punching bag somewhere in the schedule, and you know, State may be the one now. Who knows?
Oh,
they are.
I think they are. I think they are. I do. I think they're last. That deal, they'll always have that LSU game. I think it's. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this 3 games in. It feels like disaster. He's already talking about purging players and stuff. You're saying that 3 games in. You got to play 7 more games, man, and then you got to go recruit. Like, can you imagine? We talked about how Ole Miss recruits. Can you imagine? When you recruit, man, those kids, they're gonna. Especially Mississippi State, which has to recruit sort of local, they're going to call other kids. Those kids are going to be like, hey, you don't want to come here right now.
Yeah,
right? And that's hard to overcome.
As entertaining as Leach is for an outsider, I can't imagine you know, I mean, the state fan base, and if it was Ole Miss, you'd be in the same position. The whole pirate personality and the conspiracy theory and all that, man, that's going to have a real short shelf life if he can't score more than 2 points in a game.
If it's not fun, if it's, you know, and this isn't a this generation, that generation stuff. It just is what it is. This is a generation that it being fun matters. And if it's not fun, you're not going to pull it off. You're not going to pull it off. I'm just telling you, you're not. And it's not fun there right now. And you could see it if you watched them today.
Well, I hope they have fun with it. We'll do some recruiting on our side and keep scoring 48 points a game. I'll take it.
There's no doubt about that. So,
well, enjoy,
well, guys. Hey, yeah. I appreciate y'all having me on. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Talk to you soon.
See y'all.
There he goes. All right, I'm gonna get out of FaceTime. I'm gonna open up Skype, and I will open up the phone lines.
Ed Orgeron, the coach of LSU in
2022. No.
You don't think so? They got two more years. He's not getting fired this year.
No.
You think he's gone at the end of next year?
I kind of do.
Really?
That doesn't look right. That didn't look right.
They have no cohesion.
Hey, and Brennan played okay.
Brennan was good. He was fine today. Yeah. Brennan was not the problem today. They scored 40-something points.
All right, I'm going to get this off.
Yeah,
everybody knows the score now.
State's defense is going to get pissed off every day now. I mean, like, you're doing that air raid crap and not scoring? I mean, at least Ole Miss's offense is scoring.
I know. All right, phone lines are open. I think we have somebody here. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Murphy from Dayton, Ohio.
Hey, what's up?
So, my prediction is still going. 7-3 is still looking good. Can't go 7-3 without going 1-2. So, I had a wedding since 2:30 my time, 1:30 y'all time. How did the game look? I did not get to watch. I was busy shooting video.
Back and forth offensively all the way to 42-42.
Ole Miss only got two stops all day.
Yeah. Alabama got up 49-42. Ole Miss had to settle for a field goal. And then Alabama got a touchdown. Ole Miss got another field goal. Alabama got a late touchdown.
Okay. Well,
Alabama had 800 yards of offense, basically.
Oh, God.
Ole Miss had 600 600
how many? Costello numbers right there.
Yeah.
Well, no, Costello only scored. Actually, he scored 0 today. Yeah, they got beat 24-2.
Yeah, Costello had more interceptions than, yeah, just, it's, that was the game. Ole Miss couldn't stop Alabama. That was as simple as that.
Well, how many yards did Ole Miss have?
600 and something.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They needed him to stop Alabama's offense.
Or how many did Corral have? And if it's where I think it is?
Corral threw for 300 and
365 plus 40 more on the ground, so yeah. 405 total.
But Mac,
okay, that was about
Mac Jones was
more than I was expecting.
Yeah, Mac Jones was 28 for 32 passing, so that ought to tell you something.
Did you shoot a hell of a video today, though?
Well, I spent about 45 minutes worrying. Oh, sweet Jesus! I don't know if I turned the camera in front of the baptistry on. That was getting the stage, so I had to worry for that long. That was fine. I got the cake cutting. I got the dancing. They had a live band. It was great. But I do have a question.
Yep.
Does this potentially vault Matt Corral into Heisman consideration?
No,
not for this.
They're not going to do enough as a team. We talked about this. We'll talk about this for a second. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Yeah, we mentioned this during the end game that he's setting himself up for next season, A, and then B, it's just such a team award. They've got to win more games.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, who do we have?
It's Leah. from the comb.
Hey, Ed. Ed, how are you?
Well, I'm sitting here watching you, two of you, be a part of what I call the failure of Ole Miss football this year.
The what of Ole Miss football?
More years.
You are way low on piss and vinegar compared to last week. Yeah. So, I mean, I think Costello's performance today got to you a little bit.
Well, now I'm going to tell you all this.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Tell us this.
Matt Corral, he played a decent game, but that ain't going to look. People don't almost winning. They ain't winning. And when you two, I think you two must have come up in the generation of the participation trophies, because at the end of the year, I don't see Lane Kiffin with his pretty boy self getting a participation trophy in the SEC. So you boys going to have to, you're going to have to raise your standards if y'all want to win. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Let me tell you something else.
All right, tell me.
Guess who beat the hell out of ULM today? My boy Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze, yeah. He did. He did beat ULM. That is a fact. No one will ever take that away. That is.
He's 4-0.
He is. He is.
He's the highest paid Group of Five coach in the country.
He is, and I'm going to tell you something. He beat Alabama 2 years in a row, and he didn't almost win. He won.
That is true. He did. So, he did.
What was the Ole Miss Alabama score in 12?
Yeah, who won that Ole Miss Alabama game in 2012? Out of curiosity, I can't remember exactly.
Probably Hugh Freeze.
No, it wasn't.
Not quite.
No, it was Nick Saban.
Well.
Let me tell you something. I think he knew the wheels were coming off with his escort service. And he knew all that was about to come to surface, and I think he was distracted on that type of stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. Right now, if we could get his ass back from the coach.
So you are advocating getting rid of Lane Kiffin and bringing Hugh Freeze back from Liberty. Is that what you're saying?
Lane Kiffin's been here for 3 games, and we done lost two.
Those are facts.
And we lost two of them. And you lost to an Alabama team that ain't got no defense. And our defense, I don't even know why they get on the field.
Well, you know, the second part of that is probably fair. I would say that Alabama has a little bit better defense than you're giving them credit for. But your criticisms of the Ole Miss defense tonight is hard to argue, honestly.
What do you think about Leach? How's that going to work out?
Yeah, what do you think about the situation at Mississippi State? They're also 1-2.
I think he's going to be a damn better coach. You know, he may be a pirate, but he ain't a pretty pirate. He ain't out focused on looking good on the sidelines. He's focused on winning, and I guarantee you Mike Leach is going.
He scored 0 points today against Kentucky.
They got a safety. That's it.
Sorry, they got two safeties. One got called back.
They scored as many points as the Miami Marlins.
Watch what he does against Ole Miss this year. Okay. I guarantee you, look, I'll call into the show that night.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, I'll be laughing at you two stooges because he'd have whooped our ass.
What kind of cover are you hey, hold on. Just curious. Hey, what kind of cover do you have on your trailer hitch? I'm just curious.
What you mean, what kind of cover I got on my trailer hitch?
Cover.
Cover. C-O-V-E-R.
Oh. I don't know. I got a double Y.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
How many Miller Lights you into tonight?
Oh, I'm on number 13 right now.
Okay.
I believe that.
And I tell you what, watching Ole Miss play, and let me tell you something, I ain't an aggressive guy, but watching this team play makes me want to go beat my wife and kick my dog.
Well, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do either of those things. Just have another beer and listen to the show.
Y'all need to. Look, don't be his cheerleader. Y'all don't go down that path. This man's on his way out. And I tell you another damn thing.
Okay.
Orgeron can't win at LSU. He can't win. And I guarantee you, that's where Kiffin's going to end up next.
Okay.
And hey. It'd be a damn good day when he does.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ed. Been a long day for Ed, too.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, who do we have?
Hey there. This is Jimmy T from Washington, D.C.
Jimmy.
Neil, Chase, gentlemen, I want to get excited for a minute. Tonight I'm watching this Ole Miss football game. And it's the fourth quarter. It's the fourth quarter. I've never seen so many students in that section. That makes perfect sense. You want to know why?
Because
them boys is excited. They're excited right now. We got a team that's competing. They're going on that field. But here's my question. Here's my question.
Okay.
You're going to walk in to that their locker room. You're going to say, gentlemen, next week, you know, 168 hours, there's a new team. There's Arkansas Razorbacks. What are we doing different? How's the defense going to compete? What do you say to that?
You're asking me what I would say to that?
Well, I mean, it's Felipe Franks, not Mac Jones. That's a good start. There's no Devontae Smith over there for
no Jalen Waddle.
They don't have one of those. They could use two or three.
Yeah, I would think if you offered Sam Pittman a couple of those guys right now, he'd take them.
Did you watch at a bar tonight? Where you been?
Oh, man, we've been hanging out. We got a lot of friends in Georgetown. It's a good place. I heard someone else say they drank 13 beers. I probably had 15, so I'm in a good mood. But, man, it's a good time to be an Ole Miss Rebel fan. I don't care what you say. I'm thrilled.
I'm kind of impressed with you because 15, like, I would be able to, like, move. I'd be really tired. Like, you're pretty hyped up right now.
You're jacked
impressed.
For 15 in.
Well, I grew up in the Southeast just like a lot of them fans, and, you know, it's just part of the territory.
Where in the Southeast did you grow up?
Oh, man, New Orleans, moved after Katrina to Mississippi, but through and through an Ole Miss fan, live and die.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Jimmy. We appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all. Hey, y'all are doing great. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Need a little pick-me-up there. Got it from Jimmy.
Who do we have?
Hey, this is Jeff from Memphis.
What's up, Jeff from Memphis?
How you doing, man?
We're good. What's up?
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, no, I just wanted to ask them what they think the ceiling is for Pittman at Arkansas.
That's a fair question. In a 12-game season, I think the ceiling for them is probably an 8-4 type of team.
Because you get
– and
go ahead. They're better than their common opponent. They can be better than their East opponent. And then they need to make sure they beat State. They get some scheduling gifts every year because they play State right before Ole Miss.
Yeah, if I'm them, I don't play a tough non-league schedule. I start 4-0. I beat State. And look, I mean, so far this season, give them some credit.
Frankly, were one correct call from beating Auburn today.
They should be 2-1 right now. What do you think? Is he gone?
No. I totally agree. Also, I had one other question for y'all. I was wondering, I mean, I know, Neil, you like to say that you do not like to criticize former staff, but based on how Ole Miss has played so far under the new regime and with mostly the same players, I mean, it seems like it's coaching. I mean, I know Jimmy's and Joe's makes a difference, but it seems like X's and O's has made a larger difference for Ole Miss.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's both. I mean, you got to have coaching, and Jeffrey Wright said this a little while ago. He's right. It's players and coaches. It's all of it, man. You can tell a badly coached team. Badly coached team can ruin talent. You got to have talent. You don't win in this league without talent because there's too much talent on the other teams. I mean, look at tonight with Alabama. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the most talented team won, and that's typically the case. Hey, thanks for the call.
Definitely. Hey, thank you. Okay. Y'all have a good night.
You too. It's almost starstruck or something.
We're very intimidating.
We are. Hey, who do we have?
Hey, guys. This is a trip in Memphis, but I'm driving through Bahia right now on the way back from the game. How are y'all doing?
We're good.
How was the crowd tonight? I was told by a couple people that they actually could, I mean, given it was only 16,000, you could actually feel a little energy. Is that true?
Yeah, there were points where you could kind of feel it a little bit. Certainly didn't feel normal, but it felt, more normal than I thought it would. The student crowd was decent enough. I mean, it looked like, honestly, guys, student crowd looked like it did at all points last year in the last couple of years.
Were the mass police out?
Were
the mass police out in force? Were people allowed to Have some fun, or?
You know, it wasn't too bad. In our section, we were kind of on that West Rebel Club up under the press box and those red chairbacks, and it was kind of live and let live up there, which was nice. I think from what I heard, they kind of pulled back after the Florida game. It was kind of the mask police were out of that, and they kind of pulled back tonight, which was good.
I heard they were out in force in Oxford last night, like being obnoxious
all around town.
Yeah, I heard it was obnoxious last night.
See, and we just drove from Memphis down today and are going back right now, so I can't speak to that. But the stadium, I mean, I didn't see anybody. Did you get in trouble for a mask?
One time.
Well, yeah, my wife ran to the bathroom without a mask, and she got smacked down.
What happened?
Security guard standing next to us, he was like, I don't really care.
What happened? Did they just yell at you? Or?
They just asked me to please put one on, and it was at the seat. So.
But you didn't get, like, sent to the Mississippi Supreme Court or anything like that,
not
right?
Yet.
Okay.
I'm glad you weren't accosted. Not locked up or anything.
No, she was not accosted, and we're safely on the way home. We have avoided the mass Nazis, which is good.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being you're just depressed beyond belief, and 10 being you're just absolutely elated, how do you feel about the program tonight?
Man, this is the first time I've left an Ole Miss game after losing that I'm not just like fuming mad. Like, I'm in a pretty good mood. Kind of pleased. I'm, you know, surprisingly not mad, kind of happy, yeah. Kind of looking forward to this next week, and, you know, outlook is pretty good. But, hey, one question for y'all, and this is something y'all may not have seen on TV. When the game was over, and we stayed till the end, the game was over, and the team got a decently large standing ovation. You know, most folks in the who were still in the stadium stood up and cheered for the team when they were leaving, you know, yada yada, did all that. And we were leaving Vaught Hemingway in our car, and we were listening to Richard Cross and Lane on the radio, and Richard said, you know, hey, we saw, you know, your team got a great standing ovation from the fans in Vaught Hemingway at the end. What do you think about that? Or something to that effect. It was some kind of question like that. And Lane was essentially like, we don't care about that. I didn't like that. We're here to win championships. And I just thought that was – and that's exactly what I thought it would be when I saw that happen at the end of the game. I thought that was going to be his response to that. And I don't know if y'all probably didn't see that or hear that exchange. But I'll hang up and listen and just kind of get y'all's response on that, because I think it's really indicative of where Lane wants to see the program go and hopefully where it's headed.
Thanks for the call, Trip. Oh, I'm sorry. I hung up on Trip. I didn't mean to. Hang on, caller. Hang on tight. We'll let. Oh, I screwed something up. Goodness gracious.
What'd you do?
Oh, it's no, but you'll see it on the thing. It's a camera issue. I can switch to a different deal and it'll be fine, I think. Yeah, it's fine. Hey, caller, who do we have?
This is Matthew from Washington.
Hey, Matthew, what's up?
Well, I'm sitting here with the guy who just called in named Jimmy T. He just gave y'all a little bit of a call. And you know what? I thought he had some good things to say. And I guess what? I had him join Rebel Grove the other day as a subscriber. I've been a subscriber since fifth grade.
Thank you.
And I'm recruiting for you guys.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate that.
Well, I'll be short and sweet and to the point. And love the game tonight. A lot of things that I have to say, I imagine the same things a lot of Rebel fans have to say, but the thing I want to zone in particular, if you guys had to comment on the running backs, Snoop Connor versus Jerry Neely, I've been so impressed with Snoop Connor, how he's progressed from, you know, a guy that Memphis would take and nobody else to Matt Luke, maybe giving a scholarship offer, a lot of people thinking, you know, less of him, but now he looks like a dynamic running back in this league. What are you guys' thoughts on the Ole Miss running game and how it can progress and maybe get better here forward?
I think they complement each other really well. I do. I think they – you've got one guy that's kind of a game breaker, a speed guy who can get outside, and you have another guy who's – like you said, Connor's game is really coming along, Chase. I don't know if you noticed it tonight. He had a couple of carries where he got to a second cut – Which is kind of the thing that I hadn't seen
that
out of him before.
Big fourth down run was still a cutoff tackle. It was a read. It wasn't just, hey, I'm going to go bang in the, you know, but guard, center guard. I mean, he did show a little more flexibility. And when he does that, they can't automatically key down on him because he can balance it a little bit. There is a little bit of shift there in his movement that you get with Ely. I mean, it's really it's the thing we haven't talked about a ton and might get covered up a little bit just because of what Elijah and Yeboah and Corral did. From a rushing standpoint, again, Snoop went for 128 on 21 carries, and Ely went for 120 on 19 carries. It's the best 1-2 since Deuce and Gunn.
And when you throw in the fact that Corral can run the football,
it gives you a lot.
Gives you a lot. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Doug Goose.
Hey, Doug. What's up, man?
Man, just elated. Absolutely elated.
I guess tell us more.
Yeah, was at the same wedding that our friend of the program, Michael Borky, was at tonight. And the only TV that was playing the football game was right above the bar. And we got in trouble there real quickly.
What were the other TVs on?
It was a kind of Madison, Jackson, Brandon wedding. And so you had one TV on the state game and one TV on the Ole Miss game. And then both of them were right above the bar at the venue. And so every nervous wreck that you were able to get free liquor.
Well, that's a win.
Yeah, it's a dangerous combination, but, you know, you kind of got to lean into it.
All right, I'm kind of curious because I know Ole Miss lost a game and the fans are pretty pleased all in all with where things are going. You were probably around some state people. They also lost a game tonight that I'm going to guess they were not quite as enthused about the future and direction of the program as the Ole Miss people.
Sure. Let's just say that a lot the band welcomed a whole lot of state fans to the dance floor. And there was a whole lot more Ole Miss fans at the TV.
Yeah, I could see that. Boy, if you're a state fan tonight, that was a tough game to watch. No joke. I mean,
you were a little bit just elated and relieved that the upset did not happen, or your night would have gotten really poor really fast.
Or you would have woken up going, thank God for COVID, the churches are closed. I mean, yeah.
The water cooler on Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah, social distanced.
I mean, 2 points. I mean, it kind of reminded me of the 3-2 game against Auburn a couple of years ago. But you've got to be super careful not to. I mean, we've got a whole lot of momentum, but you don't want to poke the bear, and you always want to just kind of not realize the Egg Bowl until it happens. You know.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's a long way to go between now and the egg roll. Egg bowl. Look at the end of. I was thinking about Matt Corral rolling his ankle. How close that came to being something, a total season changer at the end.
We'd be having a different show right now.
Absolutely. So I guess my question for y'all is, specifically, where do you see the gaps in our defense? And
the defense.
This isn't the X's and O's shows, but just kind of where are we missing the most Jimmy and Joes?
It's the whole defense, but they are getting killed so bad on the defensive line.
Yeah, it's up front.
And they need, frankly, more physical corners.
Yeah.
To me, those are the two things. Because at least it's safety. I do think Mark Britt eventually is pretty good. You get Otis Reese at some point whenever this thing works out. And linebackers can be okay. They can be a slip slow at times. But if the other parts were just average, I do think the linebackers would be average as well. But they don't have a dominant pass rusher. You can kind of key away from Sam Williams a little bit because he gets no help up there at all. And he's still trying to come back into form. But they're so bad in the middle at nose tackle, at defensive tackle. And then their corners really got just kind of pushed around the ball the last few weeks.
Yeah, like look at Tisdale at the end. He just gets collapsed in all the time and never establishes the edge. And I don't know whether that's just because he's out of position or because he's not an SEC player. I don't know what that is, but they got –
Is it the size to speed ratio that we've elusively been dealing with for
of course.
15 years?
Of course. Of course. And are there exceptions to that? Sure, but as a rule, that's a real thing. Hey, thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Yeah, side speed ratio matters. Hey, who do we have, caller?
Hey, this is Luke in Boston.
What's up, Luke?
Not much. Trying to get a call in before I go to bed because it's, you know, 1 a.m. here.
Yes.
So I had two questions.
Okay.
For you, real quick. One is, what kind of difference would Otis Reese make if he was cleared? I mean, I know he's a DB, but the D line is the major problem.
And then I mean,
the other one is
he'd help, right? Because he's a safety, he'd help. He would give him an athletic safety, but he would not solve their issues up front at all. I mean, Chase is exactly right when he diagnoses where the problem is. The biggest problem is up front. So while Otis Reese would help on the back end, he doesn't help them. I don't know how much of a difference he would have made tonight. Let's put it that way. I mean, when the opposing quarterback goes 28 for 32 and gets sacked once.
Really clean pocket all
night
long.
Your list of problems is bigger than one person can solve. I mean, unless Khalil Mack could suddenly join the team. I mean, at which point we'd be having a different conversation. But again, that's a defensive end. He would help.
Right. No, I agree. And then how different do you think the offense would be if Yeboah wasn't here or wasn't cleared or whatever? I mean, he's a grad transfer, but still.
Yeah. I mean, huge.
It's a target across the middle. He helps Elijah Moore across the middle so much. He gives that high-low option. He does a really good job, and he gives you just enough in the run game to kind of be able to play him all the time. I mean, he's an every-down tight end. So, yeah, he helps Lane on that left-right schematic stuff, but then he also can do that kind of that high-low stuff with Elijah Moore that really makes him a weapon. I mean, frankly, I think they're going to keep keying on him more and more and more as it goes.
Did Mingo catch a ball tonight?
I think he caught one. I think he caught, like, a first down, a third down coming across – the middle.
I'll look.
Otherwise, he was pretty quiet.
One catch, 11 yards.
Yeah.
Drummond, one catch, 11 yards.
All right, Luke. Thanks, man.
Yep. All right. Yep. Thank you all. Bye.
Hey, who do we have? Oh, I didn't answer. There we go. Hey, who do we have?
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. What's up?
How are y'all tonight?
Yeah, good. Turn your device down because you're behind. So
yeah, I just did.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Thanks again for all y'all's time that you put into all this.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been fun.
So the second most impressive thing tonight, I thought, was the way our field held up. We hadn't had grass for that long. We've had a lot of hard times growing it in the past, and I thought it was excellent given the amount of rain we had.
There is some truth to that because Ole Miss had that whole like fungus thing there for a while when they went to turf a long time ago. It's been a struggle, and yeah, I didn't notice any issues. I thought they slipped down a little early, and then after that, it held up all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm horsing around a little bit, but I watched the Auburn Arkansas game, and that field was a mess. They couldn't have had more rain over there than we had in Oxford.
That field did get messy. You're right. It got sloppy at the end.
But that was only the second most impressive thing. That offense we've got it's pretty fun. I got to be honest. I've been a lifelong Ole Miss fan. I've come to all the games forever, all that stuff. And I spent the last 3 years pretty well checked out. And COVID allowed me another excuse to check out this year. But it's pretty exciting again.
Oh, the offense is really fun to watch. It's so unpredictable that I catch myself kind of like trying to guess what's coming, and I don't get it right very often.
And if you can do a rebuild, you'd much rather have a dynamic offense than a dynamic defense.
Yeah.
I mean, like a really bad and forth. You'd rather be good on offense.
Neil, you and Pete Golding felt pretty similar tonight.
How's that?
Guessing what was coming and coming up incorrectly almost every time.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I won't get yelled at about it or fired. Pete might. It's going to be a long week for Pete.
Film study's not going to be kind tomorrow.
Kiffin drubbed people's asses for years on Alabama and got chewed out by Saban. and Golding gives up 650 or whatever and 48 points to a no-name Ole Miss offense and doesn't get chewed out once tonight.
I bet that's changed already.
You think so?
Yeah, it's going to be a long Sunday for Pete. I'm just telling you.
Didn't Ross Bjork wanted to hire Golding as our head coach? Who was that?
He wanted to bring him in as the defensive coordinator with Matt.
Did y'all see the thread on your board earlier this week, like the butterfly flex of everything that had to happen for Lane Kiffin to get here?
I didn't see the thread. It's something we've talked about a lot.
It was fantastic. It went back all the way to DK Metcalf. If he had not peed in the end zone, then Lane Kiffin wouldn't be here because Elijah Moore was copying him.
Oh,
that's true.
That's a good point. I didn't think that far back.
Well, this person did. I can't take credit for it.
That's pretty interesting. Hey, Mark, thanks, man, for the call.
Yeah, so I'm seeing this in the thread for a second, Neil. Reading here from AL.com. Saban and Dylan Moses insinuating that Ole Miss had their signals, which is not possible because Golding and Kiffin did not.
Oh, for the love of God.
Did not overlap at all. Saban says, it seems like everything we did they had an answer for. I don't know if they had our signals or what, but I'm not. That's not anything unusual, but it seemed like every time we called something, they had the best play that they could have against it. And they had a really good plan, and Lane is a really good coach. Dylan Moses, there were a lot of things we had to adjust to, and like I said, it didn't help that Coach Kiffin was our coach for like 3 years and knows the ins and outs of our defense. So there are a lot of things we need to change up, the signals and all that, because I'm pretty sure they were watching it, but we have to do better overall. So
yeah, come on.
I definitely think so, Moses said when asked directly if Ole Miss had the signals to help them against the Tide tonight.
Believe what you – hey, whatever helps you sleep at night. Hey, thanks for the call. Who's this? Hey, who's this?
Hey, Neil. It's Dan in Oxford.
Hey, Dan. What's up?
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're good.
Hey, man. Drop 8 and beat State.
Yeah. Well, that's about all. It might be all it takes.
Apparently. I'm glad you commented on that, Chase, about the statements. That's all over the internet about how Ole Miss had their signals. You don't think Alabama's changing their signals? I mean,
makes no logical sense. I mean, look, even Michael Casagrande admitted that, and come on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, whoa.
Hold up. Woo! It's the big one. Wait, what? Oh, my God.
He says on Twitter that he pointed out that made no sense because Golding and Kiffin did not overlap to make that even a possibility.
Dan, I don't know if you know this, but Dan, hold up. You don't know what just happened. You just witnessed a miracle.
What?
Michael Casagrande
disagreed with
did
Nick.
Did not tote the company line. Whoa.
He's pissed about that defense tonight. Woo. I mean, that means Casagrande is pissed.
Wow.
Oh,
we were asked a minute ago, what was the biggest surprise tonight? Right there. There you go.
these Bammers were choking on their hot dogs around us. They could not believe it. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like Walmart wasn't open 24 hours.
You know,
I'm telling you, Bama is not a national championship team with that defense. They're just not. I know our offense has improved.
Okay, yeah, but okay.
Kiffin wanted to win. I'm glad. But
here's the thing. Through three games, Ole Miss is pretty damn consistent.
We're good. You're right.
What did they do against Kentucky? It was 570 yards.
I don't remember the total, but yeah, a lot.
A bunch against against Kentucky, against Florida, and now against Alabama. And in all three of those games, they gave up an absolute boatload of yards. I mean, that's kind of who they are. It's why, I mean, I've said this. This is, and I got to be honest with you, Dan, this is fun for me, and Chase can vouch for this. The last few years, I've been bored. Ole Miss football was boring. I mean, I had to always. I can't tell you how many times in the last few years I would say to my wife Laura, like on a Sunday, like I don't know what the hell I'm going to write this week. I don't know how I'm going to get through this week. And I wasn't feeling sorry for myself, but it was challenging because people would say, all right, "What do you think about the game Saturday?" I'm like, "I don't know." My internal voice would say, "I just be glad when it's over." I'm already kind of excited about Ole Miss Arkansas, because here's the thing. Looking at it, you go, Ole Miss is going to roll up 600 yards of offense. And then you look at Arkansas and you're like, but if they give up 600 yards of offense to Arkansas, which is what they've done to everybody else, well, then holy shit, who knows what's going to happen? How in the world does Arkansas roll up 600 yards on Ole Miss? And yet if you told me right now, hey, what do you think? I'd go, I don't know, because they haven't stopped anybody yet. Yet no one has stopped them.
Am I crazy to think like this was our best defensive showing? We gave up like 800 yards. I mean, you know what? I mean,
there were a couple.
I'm telling you, these referees in the SEC continued that pass interference, and when it was 3rd and 8 and that was incomplete, and they called pass interference on that. I mean, I know it's a tic tac foul, and it is, but come on now. I mean, it's just, I know that's what you get with Alabama. There are a few calls in there that did not, and the same with Florida too. And I know we have to be better to get those calls, but
Yeah, I didn't think officiating did you in tonight. You didn't tackle well. You didn't get to the quarterback. I mean, there was
there's
stuff, but I don't know. It's hard for me to pin when you give up. What was it, Chase? 730.
Yeah. Well, frankly, Lane and the offense executed out of the official issues. You know what I mean? Because they got backed up there. They hit the fourth down.
Right.
You had potentially the stop and the fumble, and they overturned it and got it back. You know what I mean? Like, they were able to able to kind of overcome it with your own offense.
Yeah.
If
totally
anything.
Agree. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We have the coaching staff. Let's go get some players. And, I mean, I'm telling you guys, this thing is about to get fun again.
Yeah,
no doubt. I mean, it already is. But
and that's where
is,
it gets fun.
This is big boy play calling.
Yeah, yep. got to go get players. Hey, thanks for the call, Dan.
You too, guys.
Yeah, real quick, the full if you got some money on, you can tell them.
No,
a second.
Yeah, I'll just punch them up.
The full quote about what Kiffin said about the standing ovation with the fans. He said, "quote said can the defense be fixed this year?" was the question, and he said, "I hope so. I just told the players don't be happy. Fans are doing a standing ovation. We were walking off, and I was very confused about that. We lost. Not that I don't appreciate the fans or anything, but the players need to know we didn't come here to play close or cover spreads or any of that." We told them they have tomorrow off, come back to work, we got to get better. You don't get chances like this. I don't think kids understand that. You don't get many chances to beat a number one team in the country, the best program in the country, and it's right there to take.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
If I'm an Ole Miss fan, that does it for me. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear this whole, I'm disappointed for the Ole Miss family, and we sure tried, and we appreciate the support, and all that BS. I want to hear that I'm trying to win nationally, and this is what we're trying to do. The end.
He said he was shocked by how well the running game worked. A lot of good things to say about Snoop Connor.
By the way, Chase has put up the if you're at rebelgrove.com, he's got a thread up with all four of the post-game interviews. Lane Kiffin is up, so is Matt Corral, Kenny Yeboah, and Ja'Cory Hawkins. So all of that is there at rebelgrove.com, which is part of the Rivals Network. The prices remain the same as they were in the Madison administration. Who do we have, caller? Caller? He's gone. Hey, who do we have?
Hey, this is Eric from Memphis. How are y'all doing tonight?
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Oh, man, I just really wanted to pose a couple of questions. So, one, do you guys think that Kenny Yeboah is probably the best tight end in the country this year?
I mean, I haven't seen all of the tight ends in the country, so it's hard for me to say, but he's awfully good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can look and see kind of some stats and stuff for the position, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look. He's an impact transfer that changes Ole Miss's offense. And when you have Lebby and Lane, who like the tight end so much and like the middle of the field so much, he's kind of in the tight end college version of DK Metcalf with the Seahawks, where you found that perfect fit to work exactly with his skill set. So yeah, I think that given his current situation in this offense and how dynamic this offense can be, I think he can be statistically as good as any tight end in this country for sure.
Is Kyle Pitts a tight end?
Because if he is, that's the answer.
Yeah.
So there's your best one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe second best then. Well, and while we're talking about offenses, that was kind of like the highlight of the game. I'm wondering, is this offense like as good, if not better, than the 2015 offense?
2015.
I mean, Chad ended up third all time in SEC total offense. I mean, give me a couple games.
And I know it's,
like, yeah. it's 13
games.
It's
a small sample size.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a conversation we can have in about three games, four games. I want to see them do it.
Yeah.
I want to see them do it six, seven games. Because, look, it's going to be – again, I'm excited for myself. Barry Odom's really good. And Barry Odom is going to get up tomorrow, and when they get over what happened at Auburn, he's going to turn the page to Ole Miss, and he's going to put together a plan. And he's a hell of a coordinator. And I'm fascinated to see what he draws up to try to slow Ole Miss down. And how Ole Miss responds to that.
Too.
I mean, it's going to be fun. This is, I mean, last year Ole Miss Arkansas was a really boring game, if I'm honest. Other than my daughter coming home and me going down and seeing her, it was a completely boring contest. This game will not be boring. It will be a lot of fun to watch.
I agree. Yeah, I'm really excited about this year. Well, y'all have a good night. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Hey, who do we have?
Intimidating.
We are very intimidating. I think I know who this is. Corey?
Holy hell.
Oh, you made it. I was trying, man. I tried so hard. I tried so hard.
Man, this is like advertising money. what do y'all do?
We're just talking to people and talking about football. What are you doing? How was the game?
I had a good time. Is everybody in a pretty good mood? Because I am.
Everybody's in a great mood, I think, for the most part.
What do you think?
I mean, I got home like 20 minutes ago, which is about an hour and 50 minutes later than I thought I would get home.
Yeah, see, you thought what I thought. You thought it would get out of hand.
You know, and I had a friend of ours text me middle of fourth quarter and said that Lane Kiffin is the best offensive mind in football, and he is not a fan of Lane Kiffin, like as a person or a you know, but he said he's the best offensive mind in football. Period. And that's encouraging. So you know. But so everybody's mood's okay?
I think everybody except Ed is really pleased with where things are going.
Well, I went with a guy from your neighborhood, Neil, and another guy from Tupelo. We went to the game, and the guy from Tupelo was kind of pissed because we were close to we could have won. I'm like, man, if you'd have told me at the start of the year that we're going to be 1-1 and be in the game with Alabama in the fourth quarter. Hey, I'd have took it, regardless of the outcome. Well, yeah, I would have too. Well, then shut up. Like, you know, like this is a sign of things to come, I think. I mean, the defense is awful, but
yeah,
the offense is amazing.
Yeah, it's a shame some of the offense can't play defense.
It's fun. I mean, it's really, really fun to go to an Ole Miss football game right now. So that's a win. That's a big win to me. So anyway, I don't know. Chase, you know we got a Tractor Supply in Amory now?
I didn't know that. Really?
Hell yeah, where Fred's was.
You excited?
I'm fired up.
Yep. I mean that doubles the economy, so that's good.
No, man.
I'm playing.
Hey,
True Temper ain't what it used to be, Corey. Okay, we're trying to figure it out. When we,
no, it's fun. It's good. They got Carhartt pants in there and shit. It's good.
You know what, guys? I'm watching this play, this Arkansas Auburn play at the end. I swear to you, if the kid for Arkansas right here at the top, if he recovers that fumble cleanly right there, I think they give the ball to Arkansas.
Oh, they do. No, there's 100%. Yes. If he recovers
it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it was that close. Are we
Hey, how much has that game changed next week?
I still think Ole Miss is significantly better than Arkansas, but it's interesting. It's a hell of a lot more interesting than I thought it would be.
What's the line?
We won't know tomorrow. Our guess is like 7, 8.
I'm glad y'all think the line.
My guess was 7.5, and Chase's was 8. So we're right in the same
really?
Ballpark. Yeah, that's what I think. Ole Miss -7.5. Chase thinks it's Ole Miss -8. So we're within a half point. Huh?
That's way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah, it's up there.
In Fayetteville?
Yeah, 2:30 in Fayetteville.
Okay, so pretend that holds. What's the Auburn line in 2 weeks?
Ooh.
In
Ooh. You know what? Who does Auburn play next week?
I don't know. Is it LSU?
No, LSU plays Florida.
Oh, that's right. Are you sure?
LSU's 1-3.
I'm not sure of anything at this point, Chase. It's
12. Auburn and South Carolina.
Where's that game? Columbia?
Columbia.
They could lose that.
They could.
I think it's all.
They win 21-20.
Auburn -1.5.
Tell me that you would, like, as an Ole Miss fan, that you, not the outcomes, but that we would be a 1.5-point dog at home to Auburn at the start of the season. That is a win for Lane Kiffin so far, to me.
Oh, yeah. I'd have laughed out loud.
Yeah.
You feel like
it's fun. I mean, it's fun again. I was excited to go to the game today, and I'm probably we are Ole Miss about this, but we lost by 15, which is really 8. And it feels like I'm drinking my celebratory drink right now. Like it does. Things feel different than they have in the past, and I'm probably gonna eat those words one day. But it just does. So anyway,
it's all gonna come down to recruiting, Corey.
Did my honk make the podcast?
No, I don't think we heard the honk because I think we had something going on recording when you drove by and honked.
Okay. All
right. Are you confident to win the golf tournament Friday, Corey?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Are you?
Well, I mean, Barrett's been practicing, not Barrett, my brother, Barrett Eden, that used to play for State on the golf team. He's been practicing.
Okay.
A little bunch is pretty good, and Bo's pretty good. So.
Okay.
I don't know who's on your team. I wish this was, I don't think we're going to count one of mine into the hole scores at all.
Okay.
Unless this is what you're playing for, big boy.
Yeah, we have the trophy sitting right here from last year. So we'll have two of these next week to sit here, Corey. And
oh, wow.
On the table.
That's some trash talk. Look at that.
That is. I got to go practice.
So you're just there to, like, to banger it down there and let everybody else actually play the rest of the hole?
Well, no, I mean.
Are you the muscle in the group? Is that what we got?
No, Bo can hit it as far as Bo wants to, but Bo doesn't know where it's going. You know, so it's kind of that forecast is important.
Okay.
We'll have to figure that out, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
It's going
to
be fun, yeah.
I wish it was a scramble, not a shamble, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
All right, my man.
Who told me it was on your team.
You'll see Friday.
So. Okay. Oh, you'll see Friday. There you go. All right. Bye, Corey.
Bye.
I think you hung up on him.
He said later. I'd already said bye, Corey. Okay. We're good. We're all fine. Hey, who do we have? Who's this?
Hey, man, it's Chad from Ocean Springs.
What's up, Chad?
A little bit of nothing. Shit, I done been on hold so long, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, okay. Jimmy, that has 15 beers in, I can tell you how he does that. He's got a buddy with ADD. That's how he manages that. I can tell you, he won't get sleepy. My question, though, I originally wanted to call in about when I jumped on here, I saw y'all had almost 800 people at one point. Is that a record of any kind?
That's the most we've ever had, for sure.
Is it more than anything the Lane night?
Ooh, I don't know.
It was right in that area. I don't know.
Huh. Well, there you go. I was watching the game tonight with some friends, and they're mostly younger than I am, and so I get pissed off at them because they don't appreciate good years. But here's my thing that I kept telling them. They stand over there and do this thing where they go, "Why don't you tackle him?" And I'm like, "Fool, do you not think he wants to tackle that guy more than anybody on the planet?" You know what I'm saying? It makes me mad when people say that kind of stuff. Like, you think you want to do it more than he does. But anyway, my last question for you, Neil. You made a mistake. I saw you screen. Which one would you rather answer? What did note to Siski mean, or wormy dogs and children to Johnny mean?
Nope.
I'll hang up and listen.
Note to Siski.
You had the camera on your on the phone still.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, okay. Earlier.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, hey, what did I text you? Because when I text you that about whatever I sent the whole time. Yeah. You were showing your phone screen on the camera.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't trying to hide anything.
No, it's all good. I mean,
I heard from a lot of people today.
Three dogs and children to Johnny B.
Oh, the one from Johnny was about Alabama fans. I know what that was. Hey, turn your device down.
Somebody was like, hey, what did I text?
Turn your device down. Oh, I hate to hang up on the guy because he's been waiting.
Hey, me?
Yeah, turn your device down.
This.
You good? Who's this?
Good. It's David in Chicago.
Hey, David.
And, yeah. So I have a lot of friends upset with me. I told them to bet their mortgage on LSU against Missouri today. And so that was so I'm kind of hiding out. And I wanted to get your guys' take. I think Jeff Levy was incredible today. I think he's going to be HC candidate like really quick, and like awesome game. I thought almost perfect game tonight. The only call I questioned was the put Plumlee in right at the very end.
Yeah,
but it ended up working out, although it was a close call.
Hey, we'll take it on the other side. Thanks, David. So the Plumlee thing, I just couldn't hear so much going on in the background. It was too much noise. I don't understand the Plumlee thing. I don't know why we're doing this at this point. It feels like it's a token now.
Is he potentially doing it down on the goal line there? Because frankly, he wanted the quarterback run, and he didn't want Corral to have to actually get the licks.
Well, no, that makes sense.
Because I mean, there's not a ton of smoke and mirrors when you're in that point if you are going to do a quarterback design run.
He just doesn't want to take the risk of Corral getting.
I mean, I don't know. It keeps Plumlee somewhat active and engaged, but I mean, here's what's interesting about the Plumlee thing through 3 weeks is they haven't done it other than the very first series of the season.
Yeah.
They're not moving him around.
Yeah.
It is what it is at this point. Whether it's John Rice's decision or the way they want to use him or whatever, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but they're clearly not moving him around.
No. Hey, who do we have?
Hey, guys, just a pretty quick question. I'll hang up and listen. I was hoping, I know it's pretty fresh, but if you guys could offer a preview of Ole Miss Arkansas as you see, you know, watching our game closely and watching Arkansas from a distance, just what can we expect to see? I know that, you know, our offense is pretty dynamic and our defense is pretty bad, but, you know, Ole Miss fans like to think we can get a win next week.
Sure.
What you guys think? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Ole Miss is going to score.
Yeah, I've watched a good bit of Arkansas. I think you can score on them. I think Barry has done a really good job with their defense. They're pretty fundamentally sound. They have some of the same challenges defensively that Ole Miss has, and that they're not tremendously athletic. I think Ole Miss can score. I think Arkansas is going to struggle to score against anyone, yet, I mean, let's get real for a minute. If you're Arkansas and you look at the film of Ole Miss, you go, hey, this is our get-well game. And I don't know. I think Ole Miss wins. I think Ole Miss wins by 10 to 14 points is my guess.
Franks is not a prolific runner, so he can't do some of what Terry Wilson did. And they just have no skill players on offense.
Yeah.
They don't have receivers. Now, look, they can score on Ole Miss. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, there's no Kyle Pitts. There's no Devontae Smith to do so many of those different things.
Who do we have?
Hey.
Hey, who's this?
This is Shaven.
Two?
Saving Bees from Arkansas.
Okay. How are you?
And I have, listen, let me tell you the story, a little bit of the story. I have a bet with a couple of friends of mine who get so miss, or four Ole Miss.
Okay.
So if I was $100 if for Ole Miss.
Okay.
So if they lose, I have to call y'all in and give y'all my theory of why they lost.
Okay.
So I get up at halftime and I give my halftime report, but it's kind of bad. Like, I don't, if you have young listeners, you might want to take them off.
It's 12:17
a.m. Or do y'all have young?
We probably do, okay, but they've gone to bed.
Listen, it's just to be raw now.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
All right. And I'm one of your 4%, right?
Sounds like
women. It feels that way, yes.
Okay. So anyway, at halftime, I pull my bar stool up and I'm mad. Adrenaline's pumping. I get up on my bar stool. And I tell them, I said, look, I tell the offense, you did a great job. Great job. Awesome. Phenomenal. So I tell the offensive coach, pull him over to the side. I need to talk to defense. And I tell defense to line up. This be bad, okay? You ready for it?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So this is bad now.
Okay.
It is what it is. I said,
let us have
it. Tell the Clitoris, line up to the front line. Clitoris, line up front line. Then the vaginas.
Yeah.
Then the taint. And then the assholes.
Yeah, we're.
And I said, y'all are all a bunch of pussies.
we're going to let that go. I don't think that.
I know we're not like FCC compliant. I understand that. But
that was a little far.
We also don't have a dump button either.
Yeah, no, I just had to hang up. At first, I wasn't positive what she said.
You didn't know where that was going?
Well, I didn't hear I wasn't positive on the first word because I think she was slurring a little bit. And then after that, I realized where we were going. And so, I was literally trying to click, click, click. Hey, who do we have? Okay. Hey, who's this?
Hey, I'm Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. What's up?
Just calling to talk.
Okay. Well, what's going on?
Pretty much just wondering.
You could tell that the clock has turned past midnight.
The, a little more gravel in the mouth at this point.
A little more gravel. Hey, who do we have?
It's Josh in San Francisco.
Hey, Josh. It's only
10:19 exactly. Out there. So hey,
Josh might be a much safer to talk to at this point. What's up, Josh?
I'd imagine so. I was just curious what y'all thought Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin was talking about after they met at halfway field. Because they was talking a good bit as they walked off.
Lane said he was making fun of the defenses in the SEC.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said he told Nick something like, I thought we played defense in this conference or something along those lines, and they had a chuckle about it. And he told Nick to go ahead and win the whole thing. That's what he told Nick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what I think. One or the other. I don't remember if Saban said that's what Lane said or Lane said that's what Lane said. But either way, one of them said that.
Listen, Lane Kiffin jokes a lot about Saban, but he has a ton of respect for him. You still there?
It's interesting enough that while everybody was talking about that potentially this guy was going to be the one that beats Nick Saban.
Well, if Kirby doesn't get it done next week, he very well may be.
All right, well, that was all I was going to talk to y'all about.
All right, thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
Feels like we're deteriorating a little bit.
You think it's all starting to go downhill a little bit?
Kind of feels like things are sliding downward. Hey, who's this?
Neil, this is Cheese in Dallas, Texas. How are you doing?
Cheese? How are you, Cheese?
Cheese. Yeah, doing good. I just wanted to ask you one thing and put it back in 2017. Steve Robertson, when he's breaking the news,
sifting through phone records, everything you could imagine. Can you, to regular Ole Miss fans at this point, can we say at he kind of put the wheels in motion to where we have Lane Kiffin today? And if you are Steve Robertson, can you look at yourself and say that he is the reason that we are rid of Hugh Freeze and now we have Lane Kiffin?
Chase, that kind of feels like that's a lot. And I don't know that I want to give Steve credit for all of that.
Yeah, that seems a... Because, I mean, frankly, there's so many emotions to that that, I mean, even if they just stick their guns and the Vitter thing doesn't happen, I mean, Dave Doran would prevent Lane from being the coach.
Yeah, because Dave Doran probably would still be here.
Yeah, I mean, at least it'd be a plan in place.
God, that'd be boring-ish.
Now, look, Dave Doran was boring as shit. Yeah, that was part of the negative.
Straight ripple effect. If Steve Robertson does not go all in, and I'm guessing Tom Mars has even more of an effect. What I'm saying is I think we are better off today than we are if they do not get involved in 2017.
So are you saying...
Y'all disagree?
No. Let me see if I can take this all the way to its logical conclusion. Are you saying that if Ole Miss beats Mississippi State in November, Ole Miss should take the trophy and give it to Steve Robertson and say, thank you, you keep it, we're moving on?
I say that the date, if we're looking hindsight, and if hindsight, and this whole entire conversation is hindsight, but
sure.
Hindsight, hypothetically, Tom Mars and Steve Robertson brought this program to a new level that Hugh Freeze, in the end, now that we see hindsight, was never going to get us to. Prostitutes, no prostitutes, massages, no massages. He was never getting us there. We see the defensive talent that he was organizing, and I believe that we are better off all of his shenanigans in the end. Things work out, dominoes fall. We have Lane Kiffin now. I thank the football gods for where we are.
Okay. Thanks, Cheese.
I get it. Yep. What?
I just
feel like there's a
price
point.
There's been a shift in calls. Hey, who's this?
Can y'all hear me?
Oh, we hear you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Who do we have?
It's been a long night, boys. Be honest.
Who's this?
This is Drew in Madison, Delta Rep 22. It's been a while.
You just now? Did you go to the game?
No, I was at a wedding. I had the game on.
The same wedding that our other caller went to?
And perhaps it was in Jackson.
Yeah.
Yep.
And probably, yeah.
Was the only TV watching the Ole Miss game at the bar?
Yeah, I may have been the guy that was the most drunk. I don't know. I made it home, though. That's all that matters.
That's good.
We're here. Yeah, you know, small victories. That's all we can hope for. Chase, I met a mutual friend. Tell your wife happy birthday, by the way.
Okay.
I think it's her birthday today.
It was.
Got a Facebook notification. Okay. You know, all that good stuff.
Okay.
But Alex Gibbert, do you know an Alex Gibbert?
I do, yes.
Yeah, she's a mutual friend.
Okay, yeah.
Met her a couple weeks ago, and she said she interned for y'all or something. And I was like, yeah, listen to them every day for the last, like, 8 years. So,
yeah. That was about 2012, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. It's about the time I started listening. Me and old Brennan Chapman, if y'all know Brennan, he was my roommate for a few years there. But anyway, how are y'all doing tonight? Neil, are you drinking some Pinot Noir?
I'm drinking some
on?
Peerless bourbon.
Some bourbon? Yeah, me too. Let me tell you, I survived. I'm going to just say tonight, I don't know, man. This was...
I didn't go in with any grand expectations or anything, but that was the best coach the game I think I've ever seen in my life. I mean, from a talent disparity perspective, like, we killed it. I've never seen anything like it. I just, defense is what it is, but they played their hearts out, and the offense is just elite. You know, between Yeboah, Elijah Moore, Jerry and Ely had a coming out party tonight. It was unbelievable. I mean, I was standing on the bar, guys. I'll be honest. I was acting like a fool. My father would be ashamed. Wouldn't be the first time, but here we are. Thankfully, my wife, she's like second trimester pregnant. Feels like shit, so I got to go by myself. So didn't make too much of a fool. Well, I did make a fool of myself, but she wasn't there, so I may be able to recover. But, you know, always considered a great night. Haven't really gotten to listen to the majority of the show. But,
you've missed a lot.
Tuned in and very, very appreciative of all y'all do. Man, it's been one of my highlights of the week for sure for multiple weeks. Hey, Neil, did you ever move the Liberty helmet down? You still got it up in the top. I know you love for you.
It's at the Ohio. Top.
It's at the top. We'll have to bring it down, but not today because they played ULM, and I don't really want to talk about Liberty today.
Fair.
Thank you.
Only respectful to do
I appreciate
that. I appreciate you. I don't know. This real quick, I don't know if y'all know this. I used to work for a cell phone provider in town that happens to provide cell service for the university. And I used to have to occasionally, after recruiting trips, Coach Freeze would have issues with his phone.
Yeah,
and I would go and have to fix it. And he was very protective of it. And in hindsight,
now you know,
there's a reason for that.
Yep.
So just kind of, I don't know what was going on, but there's something there for sure. Yeah.
My neck feels stiff the more you talk. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yes.
Who's this?
Yeah, I was calling into the call-in line.
Yeah, you're on the call-in line. Who's this?
I'm on?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay. Try to pull this thing back in the middle of the road here. Some of these folks in the ditch. I think you can play the 6 degrees of separation as far as Lane Kiffin being here. A long way back. You can go all the way back to the Rose Bowl article, I think. But anyway, been a season ticket holder for 20-plus years. Been on the board since 2003. But
you think you can – hold on. You think you can Lane Kiffin 6 degrees all the way back to, like, when Rose Bowl wrote the Rose Bowl story?
Sure. I mean
– That was 2001.
I did a post on the – or I replied to a post on the board about this one time. I think that's where the obsession with him started, and I think a lot of people agreed with me. I mean
– Okay, so do six
– They run him in –
That's – okay, hold on, because it's 12:30, and I don't know how much longer I want to do this. Do the six degrees of separation from that column to Lane Kiffin getting the Ole Miss job.
Sure. I mean, think about it like this. I mean, I think they ran him completely into the ground for that article, and I think his obsession started from that point.
And, because of the hell he took from Ole Miss fans, in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he wrote the story in 2001, I believe. So they went 3-8, and he said, I believe, whatever it was that Joe Lee Dunn was worked in a higher realm of intelligence than the rest of us, if I have it correct.
So that's one yeah. degree. Go ahead and get me there. That's 1 degree. You have 5 degrees to work with to get me to Lane Kiffin getting the job.
Oh, no. I mean, obviously, there's more than 6 degrees there, but I'm just relatively speaking, I mean, you could pull it all the way back to there, but. Really, I mean, who knows? But that's just, I mean, if you want to play, you can play that back or as far this way as you want to, but it is what it is. I just was sitting here thinking about that, people pulling it here, pulling it this way, pulling it that way. Just thought I'd throw another angle in there.
Well, hey, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
Could I talk about the game just a little bit? I told a friend of mine this is the first year in a while that I didn't go tonight. My wife's birthday was today. Also, Chase, tell your wife happy birthday. But I sold my tickets to spend the day and the night with her. Obviously, I didn't spend much of the night with her. I spent it in front of the TV, but I was here. But this is the first time in a while I haven't left the game or not watched the game and just been completely disgusted. And I think the coaching has been much better. The team looks much more prepared. I don't think that's too much of a stretch.
Yeah, no, it's not a stretch. That's all I had to say. That's what happened. I think, the coaching staff, top to bottom, is the best that I've covered for sure. And, there's nothing really positive other than the defense, and that's just going to be able to recruit and transfer your way out of it. That's it. A hell of a knockout.
I saw one play in particular on defense tonight, and I'll go back and watch again because I recorded the game. But, linebackers, obviously Patrick Willis with closing speed on a linebacker. I saw one play in particular, the angle that Momo took to the running back. You know, linebacker speed should have been able to at least keep up or close that gap, but he kind of got left. But I think they're going to have to recruit some talent on defense. Now, I don't think I know.
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about that. They're going to have to get better on defense, and the only way to do that really is to get players.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thank you all for taking my call.
Thank you. This feels like they're starting to slow down. You've seen this before. It's bizarre. Who do we have?
This is Zach from Forest, Mississippi.
Hey, Zach.
How y'all doing tonight?
We're good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I want to talk about what y'all thought about the Ole Miss Alabama game tonight.
Be more specific.
We've been doing this for a while.
We've talked about it for a good while now. So,
well, I thought our offense did pretty good tonight. Jeff Libby had a good game plan. I knew our defense would be pretty much terrible, being no depth, and also one of our best players, Otis Reese, not being cleared by the NCAA. What y'all thought about that? About the only interconference transfer not even be able to play.
Yeah, it's horseshit.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's a crock of shit. Yeah.
You think they're going to clear him?
I'm pretty sure they'll probably clear him next week since they've already played Alabama.
He ought to hire Tom Mars. He'd fix it.
Yeah, I think it's a crock of shit. Pretty much every interconference transfer got to play. Like what I guess started last week, but Otis Reed's still sitting on the sideline.
Came out and said they were all eligible.
And I also want to talk about Arkansas. I'm not a big fan of Arkansas, but I thought they got screwed at the end of that game with that against Auburn with that fumble. That was a clear fumble.
It was.
It was a fumble. I mean, it absolutely
was.
They
made the right ruling after they screwed it up. They screwed it up, and then they said, okay.
It was just a shame that it happened with 10 seconds left or whatever it was. Yeah.
All the seconds are the same, just like when the clock's running down and the referees sprint with the ball to make sure they get it in place in time. It's like, well, hold on. Kind of shitty to the defense, isn't it? Like, with 8 minutes to go, you're not sprinting.
That's a good point.
I mean, like, what the hell?
That's a fair point. With 13:22 to go, you're not sprinting.
But now, let's make sure we get this thing down.
We're going to help you guys now. Yeah. That's a good point.
But I will say that Lane Kiffin probably do good at Ole Miss if he stays. I think we got the right guys in place. They just got to rebuild. They didn't have the depth against Alabama, and I'm actually surprised they even held on to them for four quarters.
Yep. Hey, yep. Zach, thanks for the call.
Yeah,
This person's been.
I do love the 12:36. It goes, hey, so talk about the game.
Yeah, it's like, wait, we've been doing this since like 4:30.
Hey, guys.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is John from Oxford.
Hey, John.
Hey.
You sound remarkably sober compared to the five colors in front of you.
Sounds can be deceiving, so can looks.
Okay.
But no, serious note. Appreciate what you guys do. Y'all do a great job. Hats off to that.
Thank you.
Changing the subject just a little bit. Changing the subject. Look, I know we lost. It was a great game. I couldn't be more happier to be an Ole Miss fan tonight. But did y'all see the beating that Felipe Franks took tonight or today against that Auburn defense and how he just had the drive? Yeah.
He got hit every play.
Dude, his tank was on empty.
Yeah,
he was halfway through the fourth quarter, and he still kept fighting. Hats off to that dude. I hope we beat him by 40. But hats off to that dude, man. They are fighting. They're trying hard for that coach, and they're playing ball. But you know, I hope we beat them. Like I said, I just want to call and tell you guys appreciate what you do. Appreciate the call in show. Staying up this late. I know it's rough. And appreciate y'all, and y'all have a good week, guys, and looking forward to Saturday.
Hey, thanks.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of credit goes to – I've watched Arkansas for a number of reasons, three games in a row, and their kids deserve a ton of credit. Their coaching staff deserves a ton of credit. And Felipe has – he has solidified their offense, but he got beat up today. He'll spend some time in the training room tomorrow. Hey, who do we have?
Hey, it's Jarrett in Long Beach.
Long Beach, California, or Mississippi?
Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little different than Long Beach, California. I've never been there, but I'm just, you know, guessing. Chase, I can't believe you dropped an S-bomb there a minute ago.
A what?
Otis Reese.
The what?
I said, I can't believe you cursed on the air.
Oh, well, that curse word's okay. We got some we don't say, but some are fine. And it is 12:39. I mean, somebody's watching like all 3 hours here. I mean, you know, it's
that's true.
Yeah, there's like a certain like Cinemax After Dark quality to this at this point, where it's just sort of
well whatever. To a point.
Well, okay, well I don't know. You had one caller you wouldn't hang up on. We got pretty close.
I was trying.
Jeez, she said it three times. I look at Neil like, okay, dump.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to hear the rest of what she had to say.
No, I felt like I knew where it was going at that point.
Context clue said we'd heard enough.
I hear you. Well, first off, Neil, I tested your fluffy shark theory today.
Yeah.
So we took our almost 2-year-old to the new aquarium in Gulfport, and the toy she picked out in the gift shop was a fluffy shark.
Okay.
She's been carrying it around all day since we got home. So, I mean, I think that's you could probably just take that to Keith Carter and tell him that and be like, hey, man, fluffy shark, let's do it.
So I heard a rumor from someone close to Ole Miss that they've actually changed the Tony mascot. It's not allowed to be on the field because of COVID, because sharks spread COVID. But if
that is true. I did hear that also.
But I've heard that there actually is a new costume.
Are you going to take credit for said costume if it happens?
Hell yeah. Why would I not?
You deserve it. You should.
I agree completely. I mean, it's 12:40 at night, and I deserve credit for Lane Kiffin and a fluffy shirt.
So that's interesting that you said that, because that's a nice segue into the question that I had. So you said earlier in the broadcast, you said multiple times you've been advocating that they should have hired Lane back in 2017.
Right? I did. I have the column to prove it.
Let's say that happened, all right, and then all the other things in the world that happened this year are the same, and the schedule is as it is now, and the games, we're playing the same teams and so on and so forth. What does the record look like thus far and the rest of the season?
You mean if COVID doesn't happen, we play the regular season?
No. COVID did happen, and we're playing the season we have now, but Lane Kiffin's been the coach since 2017.
Oh, you're probably a power by now.
Yeah, you think, I mean, tonight probably would have been a toss-up going into it.
Sure, Alabama minus one, something like that, yeah.
Right, yeah. No, I think
I mean, hell, right. It was practically, right. With 11 minutes left, it was 42-42. It was.
Yeah, I mean, I was starting to believe a little bit.
Well, but, sure.
Man, maybe somebody fumbles or something and we find a way to get it done. Or
well, I mean, that's what it was going to take.
I mean,
Chase said that during the game because they're going to have to turn it over.
Yeah. Or I mean, if that, you know, if I forget who it was that doesn't grab that dude's arm on that 3rd and 7 and where they call the PI and Bama has to either kick a field goal or punt there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
They might have won. I mean, they didn't. You know,
yeah, I mean, the better team won. Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Definitely. But I mean, yeah, man. Like everybody else has been saying, like I got a really good friend who's a huge Georgia fan, and I was texting with him during the game, and we were texting during the Tennessee game too, and I was giving him a hard time, but he was texting me, and I was like, dude, honestly, like this is fun. I was like, I'm actually enjoying watching the game, and I'm intently watching the game because the last 2 or 3 years, like when we played Alabama. Like, I turned it on, but I didn't watch it because it was like, this is pointless. It's dumb, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, Jarrett, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, bye.
What do you think? You about ready to... call it a night?
Well, I feel like we're not getting anywhere at this point. That's some of the...
Yeah,
that is some of the issue.
All right, it's 12:43 a.m. I think we've done our part. We signed on at
4:30.
We've gone more than 8 hours. Hell of a day. Ole Miss loses 63-48. That's a crazy number. God Almighty. Ole Miss covers. Ole Miss goes to Arkansas next week. The Razorbacks lose 30-28 tonight at Auburn. Both teams are 1-2. Both teams are pretty pleased with where they are at 1-2. Although, I'm an Ole Miss fan, I absolutely love what Lane Kiffin is saying. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to be satisfied with moral victories. I don't want to be shooting for the Music City Bowl. Yeah. I want to do something bigger than that. So, anyway, we'll be back on Monday afternoon after Lane Kiffin's press conference. We'll do a podcast and talk about a number of things. So, for Chase Parham, I'm Neil McCready. Thanks to all of you for being here. I mean, it speaks volumes for where the program is for you guys that we've got 388 of you with us at 12:44 in the morning. We'll be back next week. Ole Miss at Arkansas is a 2:30 kick, so we'll start our pregame show at 12:30, and then the game at 2:30, and we'll probably stay with you guys for a while after that game in Fayetteville as well. So, again, thanks to everybody. Thanks to Cathead. Thanks to
Blue Delta,
yep. Thanks to Neil Forbes for the bourbon of the week, Peerless, which I think I like more than Chase does.
Yep.
But that's okay. That's
all good.
Why people make bourbons. Yep. Some people like them. Some people don't like them as much. So we'll see you guys on Monday with another edition of the Oxford Exxon podcast. Thanks for being with us all day today. Take care.